program's success, the results so far have been impressive. Portland haulers have also made a significant investment in new trucks as required under the city's clean fleet policy. While this will result in reduced emissions and improved fuel efficiency, it comes at a cost. These purchases are responsible for a substantial portion of the proposed average monthly increase. Also contributing to the proposed increase is the Metro tip fee and a projected drop in the value of the sale of recyclable materials. All of those factors impact the cost of collection, but the residential haulers are committed to looking for ways to increase their efficiency and contain their costs. And they're doing so in a way that allows them to achieve their goals of excellent customer service, sustainable results, and operational safety. And finally, want to express our appreciation to the Portland Utility Review Board's, first of all, their review and thoughtful analysis of the proposal, and then their support for the proposed rates. Thank you. And if you have any questions, I'd be glad to answer them.
Well, I just want to take the opportunity to thank you personally, to thank your members, to thank the folks that receive our recycling and composting materials. I mean, it's been, you know, this is a significant change, and it's a change that has actually saved us money, which we didn't necessarily anticipate, and otherwise would have been higher increased fees. And you and your industry have been incredibly helpful in helping get the word out and really making the program work thus far, and I just wanted to know how much I appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right, ma'am.
Yes, Nancy Newell. I live in Portland for about 25 years now. I am representing the citizens for Portland's water, have been for a while now, and very interested in not having any rate increase. I don't think it's justified. And I have a chart here, which unfortunately I couldn't pass out to you because I had technical difficulties on printing it, but I will get it to you. But I do have a summary that I wanted to read to you that we should not have any rate increase at all. These charts show that rates and the accumulation of dollars has changed since 2000. The basic formula, if you're unfamiliar, operating revenue, which consists of water sales plus a small amount of interagency and miscellaneous receipts, which add up to $5,400,000 to $10,380,000 based on the year, a fairly small part of the total to have much effect. So you take operating revenue minus operating expenses direct, and you get net revenue. In 2000, this was enough to pay for the small debt service of $13 million and have a $2 million rate stabilization account. One note says they used 3% as a goal. It stayed at $2 million for years. Then in 2004, the cash account, which was $25,219,000 in 2000, noted as being there as a cushion that was used as rate relief if there was a surplus, is no longer noted as having that function anymore. The graph shows that rates are increasing, the primary cause of higher operating revenue, but it isn't operating expense that is the reason. Through 2011, it will have increased at less than $2 million per year. So just using the $2 million in the rate stabilization should have been enough to maintain it at the current level. The increased funds are being channeled into debt-related accounts, sinking bond fund, where the annual dollar sits until paid, rate stabilization, which was $2 million in 2000, increased to $39,180,000 in 2011. If you add that to the debt service that year of $31,944,000, then you get the $71,124,000 just sitting there. It's almost a whole year worth of operating expense, so it is definitely not driving up rates. Debts are. Also, if you figure out net revenue and divide it by the debt service, then it has to be greater than 1.75 to have a good ratio for bonds. So as debt service goes up, then it also drives up rates further to maintain that ratio. Also, the debt we have is for construction-related reasons and is dedicated as such. Money can't be borrowed for the operation of the system, and increased debt service also drives rate increases and means there is little to no money to take care of the system if rate increases are trying to be minimized. I have very little time left, but my point I want to make is we have a 100-year-old system that's done very well. We've had a jump in rates due to things that we don't need, time to stop. I have a conflict of interest case that's going forward on the $35 million project that you've fully approved up at the headworks. And it's going forward even though my case is still being heard and we're having oral arguments on conflict of interest. So the public feels denied in many ways, and the public hearing never even had the topic of water at Montgomery Park. So please wake up and give us a chance and listen to us. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Sir.
Hello. My name is Myron Burr. I'm with Saltronic Corporation here in Portland. And you've heard a lot of numbers today, and you know, kind of all of them are very important, but I only want to talk about one number today, and that's 350. 350 family wage jobs are going to be eliminated this summer from our manufacturing operation. They're blue-collar workers for the most part, and if you've ever been in a manufacturing setting, you know that these people have highly skilled skill sets, but it's very narrow. So what are these people going to do? I mean, they don't have those same kind of jobs out there for these people. There's nothing for them to go to. So some of these people have been there for 20 or 30 years. They expected to retire with the company. They won't be able to. They expected to put their children through college. Those dreams have evaporated. So I have to ask you, we're talking real jobs. We're not talking vacancies. You know? I mean, these are real jobs. So unlike some organizations, Celtronic cannot pass through cost increases or rate increases. Our customers will go elsewhere. Our only options are to cut internal costs or close the doors and send people home. You can tell it's a kind of an emotional thing for me, but a lot of friends, families, people that you get to know, and they're gone. I mean, you know, and the mayor's opening remarks about the budget were jobs, job creation, job preservation. Rate increases don't create jobs. They kill jobs. This is a very good example of that. So I have to ask you, you know, what are these people going to do? What are you going to do? Are you going to pass more rate increases and kill more jobs in Portland?
Are you suggesting that the layoffs are because of the proposed water rate increases?
No, it's the cumulative effect.
Okay.
Just as we've discussed, they've gone up numbers again, hundreds of percent over the past.
So cumulative effect of a variety of things?
Of a variety of things.
Okay.
You know, we talked about...
No, I just wanted...
A variety of things. Can't pin it on water, but sewer, garbage, health care, you name it. It's
right.
Very expensive to do business.
I just wanted to be clear. Right. Thank you.
That's all who signed up?
All right. So these move to further... these move to further consideration, and we have a substitute on item number 08, right?
508, mm-hmm.
Yep. So I move the substitution.
Second.
And the changes are what on the substitution? Can you come forward quickly? We don't have a lot of time.
The substitute adds the commercial fee increase. The ordinance as originally drafted inadvertently omitted that piece. It's the same as what we discussed with PERB. It simply hadn't gotten written into the ordinance.
And which item is this on?
This is 508.
All right. Call the vote on the motion to substitute.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye. Substitute is approved.
I have a process question. When is the appropriate time to propose amendments? We've heard a lot of information today, and some of it, the responses to questions, staff is going to get back to us. When will council be able to propose amendments to any of these ordinances?
Mayor Adams, I've checked with council on that.
Okay.
And what I have been told, and our esteemed council is here, is that we have two options. We can either bring amendments with an emergency clause attached at next week's meeting to coincide with the adoption of the budget, or if the council is still not prepared to come together around a proposal, we can take amendments and still vote on it on the May 30th date, which is the last date in the budget calendar for this to be effective. So we have the opportunity to address them next week by emergency ordinance or by a regular amendment and the final submission, the final package voted on the 30th at the latest.
Thank you for the clarification. And then some more information that I'd like from the Water Bureau as soon as possible is on the question of the interstate facility, because my understanding is that we put the rate up 0.8% last year for interstate specifically. So and the cost of interstate is, I think, $48.5 million. So I'm still not understanding why the rate has not gone down more than 0.4% from not doing the ultraviolet system. So would appreciate, and maybe what you could do, Director Schaff, is to give me from 2010 each year a summary of the breakdown of the rate increases and how they were affected by decisions made through the year. Thank you again for your responsiveness. You've certainly been very helpful to me and my staff.
All right. We're in recess for, 15 minutes?
Plenty of time. Can I help you? No, I think you need more drugs.